Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Welcome to the Patrice Brantley Show. We're helping others with the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Miss Melissa, who had to stop by with us, y'all, and share her amazing story, testimony, miracle of her baby. And I got to tell y'all, I literally sat down and I was talking with her and hearing her story of tragedy to triumph. And ultimately, it is a Lazarus story. So if you don't know about Lazarus, y'all, stay tuned. This is truly a beautiful story of how miracles are still happening in today. So I first got to say, welcome, Miss Melissa.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You're more than welcome. I am so excited for you to come and share this story for me. But, you know, before I usually get into this, I ask everybody what's their story first. But I'm going to pause for a second, because when I get to what's your story, that's the meat of what we're talking about today. Give me some background about you. So I'm going to start with that before. Tell me a little bit about you.
I'm a minister now. I closed a business that I had ran for several years and transitioned into full-time ministry. And I've written a couple of books. I've got my own podcast, but healing and deliverance ministry is where I really have a focus on.
So it's amazing to hear you say that, you know, because everybody now, especially since the pandemic, everybody and their mother's like, we got to get our own business, got to do our own thing, you know, multiple streams of income, that kind of thing. And I love that. That's a part of my mission too, have your multiple streams. But to hear someone say, I left my business to go into ministry, give me a little bit about that. How was that transition for you?
I was ready. I was so ready to be done with the line of work that I was in. I was ready to go into full-time ministry. I felt like I'd been ready, but had not taken the leap. And it was just to the point where I was just so discontent.
Wow.
staying in that field. And I couldn't just keep my business open because I had to be the one to run it. I was a real estate appraiser and I had the license to be able to do the appraisals. I couldn't just keep it open and have somebody else running it unless they were appraisers as well. So I had to close it. I wanted to be done with that field of work.
It sounds like you were in a space that burnout had kind of introduced itself. And then yeah. It became a thing of, you know what, this is a tad bit much, but you know, I got to bring you back. That's my specialty. I love to talk about burnout and burnout prevention. So we got to bring you back for that part. But I love that you took this leap. You talk about taking that leap to go from full-time business into ministry. And your ministry that you focus in is in the healing and healthcare ministry, I believe. Healing and deliverance. How did I mess that up? Healing and deliverance ministry. And, you know, as we were talking, you were just sharing the story of your daughter. So I want to, you know, let you start from there. Tell us, before this took place, you were in this healing ministry for 5 years. And in the midst of this time, something happens. Take us to the night before this all happens.
The night before.
Okay. The night before.
So we had had dinner. She ends up after dinner throwing up, not feeling well. And I started to pray for her because that's what we do in this house. We, you know, if somebody gets sick, we pray and the symptoms usually go away. And this didn't go away immediately. She kept throwing up and not feeling well. The next day she woke up and just had a low grade fever and didn't have to give her any like fever reduction or anything like that because it was just low grade. And we're like, well, we'll just let her, you know, suffer through here. She wasn't that bad, but she kept throwing up. And I kept praying for her throughout the day, but she kept throwing up. And right around probably mid-afternoon, she stopped eating or drinking anything because anytime she did, she would throw it up. She couldn't keep even just even one sip of water. She wasn't able to keep down. And I just had peace because being in healing ministry and seeing all the miracles that God had done in the prior 5 years, I wasn't really concerned. I knew God was going to come through and I wasn't concerned. And so I ended up going to class that night as I was scheduled to go. and my husband stayed home with her, and she just kind of rested and slept on the couch. And I got home from class, and as I was pulling into my garage, when I came home from class, the Lord told me to start praising him for her healing. And so I just sat in the garage for a minute, and I just gave him some praise and thanked him for healing her. And later found out that he had my mom doing the same exact thing at the same exact time. And so I go into the house, and she's just resting and trying to sleep on the couch. And my husband and I are sitting watching TV on the other couch. And right before 10 o'clock at night, my husband jumps off of the couch and goes running over to her on the other couch. And I'm looking over, I'm like, what is he doing? And I notice that she is starting to have a seizure. She'd never had one before.
Hold on one second. So wait, the Lord, you are in the garage having this moment of, yes, you know, I am praising you for a healing, all is well. And 10 o'clock that night, she full blown has a complete seizure and starts convulsing on the couch, on the sofa.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. How does that, I mean, to me, for someone who is in the faith, that has been a moment where you kind of go, wait a minute, God, you just told me to praise you. What's up with this? Like, I mean, even if it's not a moment, and even the most seasoned, even the most new to the world of God and those things like that, and into the walk of Christ, that had to be a moment that was a little, I mean, you say you were at peace. I'm proud of you. I think I would have been like, oh my gosh, I think I would have freaked.
I did. I had total peace. And the thought did cross my mind very briefly, but I'm like, no, I trust him. I've seen him at work. I know he's good. I know he's my healer. I know he's my daughter's healer. I know he loves my daughter more than I love her. And I just had peace.
So, okay. I'm sorry. Take me back. So now we're back on the couch. She is convulsing. What happens? Your husband jumps up. Pick up from there for me.
Yeah. My husband jumps up. And so he's dealing with the physical side. You know, she's having a seizure. He's making sure she's okay and making sure she doesn't fall off the couch. And so he's dealing with the physical side. And I just start going to war in the spirit. And I'm dealing with the spiritual side. So I'm like, help Jesus. You know, devil, get your hands off of her. I'm like rebuking the seizure. I'm rebuking the sickness. I'm commanding it to go. And so this goes on for a little while. And she's still convulsing. Her eyes ended up rolling to the back of her head. Her lips turned blue. Her face turned gray. We felt her spirit leave. My husband and I, we both knew that she was dying. We looked at each other like we both knew. You know, our eyes connected, and it was like we both knew exactly what was happening. And so he said, call 911. And so I pick up my phone and I'm getting ready to dial 911. And I actually did start to dial. And I saw that I had a text from my older daughter who was in the basement. Her bedroom's in the basement. And she's like, what are you guys yelling about? So I just yelled for her to come upstairs. And I handed the phone off to her. But she's like, what is going on? And I didn't even mean to say it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that to, to my poor other daughter. Like how horrified she must have been. But she's like, what's going on? And I said, your sister's dying. Take the phone and get an ambulance here. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe I said that. But I did. But so anyway, she's on the phone and I'm getting ready to go back into the living room and go back to prayer. And as I'm, you know, standing there giving her instructions, I can hear my husband calling my other daughter's name, who's on the couch, and he's saying, Aza, don't go, don't go. And then he switches from don't go to come back, Aza, come back, because he knew that she was gone. And so I start on my way back to the living room. I just start declaring scripture out loud. And I just start saying, she will live and not die, and she will declare the works of the Lord. And so I get back in there and I start praying over her. And when I kneel down on the ground to put my hands on her and start praying for her, I refused to look at her face because I knew what looking at her face would do. I knew what was going on. And I did not want that to disrupt my faith. I didn't want any doubt or unbelief or fear or anything else to creep in. So I wouldn't look at her face. I just laid my hands on her and focused on Jesus. And I was just praying and trusting him. And the Holy Spirit had me put my hands on her head and start praying in tongues. And when I did, her spirit came back. She opened her eyes. She sat up and she was fine.
So I'm going to jump in here for a second, because as you're talking about this, I literally heard things that everyone needs in their life. The first thing I heard was that you trusted Jesus so well and so full in your heart that it was like, you know what? No matter what happens, I'm praising him. And you followed the instructions. The first thing I heard was make sure you trust Jesus. The second thing, you followed these instructions that Jesus has given you. And then the third thing I heard was when you talked about not looking at her face, the first thing I thought about was distraction. Because so many things, especially in this time and age, everybody is grabbing for your attention and wanting you to see them. And you knew I needed to stay focused on the goal, which would be number four for me. I need to stay focused on what I'm doing and being in this moment so that my Savior can touch not just me, but my child. Yeah. And when I hear this, I get goosebumps, what I call God bumps, because it just gives me such a peace to know when we trust, when we go with his directions, when we don't get caught up in the noise around us and we allow him to work, we get to see the rewards and the results, his results of this. And I mean, so after this, she comes back. And for those who know me on my podcast, I'm never speechless, okay? So here you are. She comes back. What do you all do next? Because you called emergency. So what do you all do once they get here?
Yep, the paramedics came. They checked her out. They said she was fine at the moment, but they recommended that we take her to the emergency room to get checked out. And they said, you know, she's stable. So if you want to drive her in your car, you can, or we can take her by ambulance. And we opted to let the paramedics go, and we took her by our car, not ambulance. We took her by our car to the ER just to be safe, just to get her checked out, you know, to do the smart thing, even though I knew that it was done and God had already taken care of it all. So we drove her to the ER. They did all kinds of tests, checked her out. They gave her a little bit of IV fluids because she was dehydrated from all the vomiting, but that was all that they did. She was completely fine. We took her to a pediatrician the next day to follow up. Everything was fine. Everything checked out fine. And she is completely normal and healthy and no issues. They found nothing wrong because, you know, when God brings somebody back from the dead, he heals them of whatever it was that killed them. So.
I mean, that's amazing to me. Oh my gosh. I mean, I even love how you gave me the follow-up there. Like, now she is still doing well. She's still doing well. And the house is prospering. For parents who are going through a medical issue with their child, because so many people, you know, I know here, I'm in Florida, St. Jude's is on their game plan. They are on it every day. And so you see the commercials and you may choose to donate or you may not, but for so many parents, they don't have that story, or they're saying, well, when is my time for that story? Maybe. What would be your words of encouragement for those parents?
I would probably start out by saying, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if they are not in their Bible, if they're not in a church that preaches the full gospel, I would highly recommend that they do that. If they're not baptized with the Holy Spirit, I would absolutely recommend that, because there is, you know, there's power when the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, and that power can flow through our hands. You know, the Bible says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And, you know, it took me, when I first got into healing ministry, I prayed for a lot of people before I saw my first healing, but I just kept sticking with it and trusting the word. And, you know, the word is true. God's not a liar. And then I started to see healings. And I think my faith for this was so high because the word had been planted in my heart and had been so planted. And I had heard other stories of, you know, even modern day miracles of people being raised from the dead, that when the time came for me to have to stand on that faith, it was so deeply implanted in me that I had that peace. And, you know, we live by faith, not by sight. And what I saw, I was not going to let it deter me from what I had buried in my heart. I had that seed of the word of God buried in my heart.
And that's one of the things I love, because I always, you know, talk about being the seed sowing sister who implants. That's my big thing. And I love how you talk about having that seed in your heart. For so many people, what you implant in your heart is what you allow to flourish and grow in your world. And, you know, I know everybody's into different types of things, and I won't mention them because that's not what I rock with, but we have to be careful of what we allow to implant in us. We have to be so careful of what we allow to be seeded into us daily. And as this is going on, I'm just hearing, oh my gosh, another faith building moment. For me, I'm going, because this is a faith building moment for me as I'm hearing you talking about this, because, you know, for so many people, I have girlfriends and such, we're a little older, and, you know, everybody's doing all they can to have their kids. And I'm thinking, imagine what it's like to have this little person that you prayed for and wanted for, and then they get ill. How do you handle that? How do you respond? So I'm so grateful that you came and shared this story. I'm not letting you go yet. You can't go. But I'm so glad that you came and shared this with me. For those around you, when you talk about healing ministry and deliverance ministry, I want to go a little deeper into that. What does healing ministry look like? Is this a school that you connect into? Is this something that you're called into?
For me, every believer, the Bible says every believer will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. But the Lord did tell me that I had a gift of healing, and I just started diving into that. And, you know, one of the books that really changed my life and set it on a whole new course was Andrew Womack's book, The Believer's Authority, What You Didn't Learn in Church. And that book, reading that, hearing, you know, the modern day stories, and his son was raised from the dead. His son had died and he had prayed him back. And, you know, all those things just kept being planted in me, and the Lord watered them and they grew. But the Lord had told me that I had a gift of healing. And so I had just started praying for people. And, you know, I prayed on church teams and church prayer teams, and I'd pray for anybody who would let me pray for them, I was pretty gung-ho in the beginning, very enthusiastic. But we saw a lot of miracles, you know, after we started to see our first one, it really took off, and we've seen a ton of healings and miracles. That could be a whole episode of its own.
I was going to ask, what have been the ones, because I know your daughters is number one for you. What would be your 2, 3, 4, and 5 of the healings that you've seen that have just been like, wow, this was breathtaking to me?
Well, and I have a whole bunch. If you want to get my book, I wrote a book, Keys to Healing. There's a whole bunch of stories in there. But number two would probably be my mom's best friend was diagnosed with advanced cervical cancer. And they told her they would treat it aggressively, but they didn't have a lot of hope. And at one point they had told her to go home and get her affairs in order. And we prayed for her. And 4 months later, when she went back for her scan in 4 months, the cancer was completely gone. And the doctors used the word miracle. It was completely gone. She's been healed ever since.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So
that's awesome.
Yep. That's probably number two. And then number three is probably my husband's aunt had lost her voice, and she had had surgery on it. And the doctor said, if the surgery doesn't work, there's nothing else we can do. You're just going to not have your voice. And so for several years, the first several years that I knew her, she had no voice. And then we got a hold of this healing ministry and that the authority that we have to heal the sick and, you know, raise the dead and cast out demons, and went and prayed for her one day. So this was like years after she had lost her voice, and went and prayed and commanded her voice to be restored. And the next day her voice was back.
Whoa. What I love about it is that you're talking about two different types of healing. You're talking about an instantaneous healing, which we always talk about. And then we are also talking about the progressive healing. And it's beautiful to hear these things, because so many people figure, well, it didn't happen right now, so I'm not healed. And, you know, your story may be different from somebody else. Somebody else is an instantaneous thing and it happens for them. And then for somebody else, it's a process. And in that process, I think it's more so of a builder for those, me, my personal view. I feel that it's more of a builder for those around you, because, you know, they were gung-ho at the beginning. Like you said, you were gung-ho at the beginning and they were gung-ho too. And then now it's like, well, we didn't see anything. So do you still keep that faith going when you don't see the answer immediately? So that, yeah. Oh, okay. All kind of life coming through today. Just come on. So let's go a little further. You've been in this healing ministry for quite some time. For you, has this been something that you said you did a lot of study, you've been in the books and things of this nature? How has this ministry impacted your life and maybe a few of the people around you?
Oh, wow. Well, Well, we've seen lots of healings. And of course, you know, the guinea pigs were my immediate family, because I would pray for them anytime they, you know, anytime their noses start to run or they'd get a little cough, I'd be praying for them, and, you know, it would go away right away. And so my husband and myself and our two youngest kids, we all had asthma and we all had allergies to cats, and we were all taking medication every month. I think we were like $800 out of pocket every month for asthma medication and steroids and stuff like that. And I just started praying and commanding the asthma to go in Jesus' name. And all four of us were healed of asthma, and we used to be allergic to cats. And so we'd go to a relative's house and they'd have cats, and we couldn't be in the house for very long. We'd be outside puffing on our inhalers in the deck, on the deck outside, trying to get some fresh air, because we had asthma and allergies to cats, and the cats would exasperate the, you know, the allergies. And so, we were healed of that. We were healed of the allergies to cats, and we don't have any allergies anymore. And then, you know, just all these other things, like my mom had a cyst on her thumb and had been there for quite a while. And I prayed for that to go away. And the next day, the cyst on her thumb was gone and never came back. I mean, I could just keep going and going and going. I have so many stories, but yeah, they've all been my little guinea pigs, all my family and people around me. So
talk to me a little bit. I feel like I know the inspiration for your book, but give us the title again, because I want to make sure people hear it. Give me the title again. And I want you to share, if you can, one of your stories out of there, if you don't mind.
Okay. So Keys to Healing, and it's on Amazon, and it's under Dr. Melissa Rupp. And you can also go to melissarupp.com and get the link to that. But all those stories I just told you, I think most of them are in that book. Let me try to think of another one that's okay. So another story that would be in that book is we had some people come in for prayer and one leg was shorter than the other. And so as I had one person's leg in my hand, and I had both legs in my hands, one in each hand. And I commanded the short leg to grow to the same length as the other one. And as I'm holding it, my hand starts to move and the leg starts to grow, and the leg grew out and they were both the same length. And the woman bent down and took her little filler thing out of her shoe. She didn't need it anymore. So she took it out and tossed it. And her leg had grown out to the same length as the other one.
It's amazing to hear, because so many times people think that, you know, these are things, oh, if I just turn this channel, or this was a plan or something, but to be in the ministry and see the results, such an amazing thing. What would be your keys to share with someone in the beginning of healing ministry?
The word. Read the Bible, form a relationship with the Lord, learn how to hear his voice, learn about the gifts of the Spirit and when he, you know, how he talks to you. And because he'll give, like a lot of times when I'm praying for people, even though I have a gift of healing, sometimes he'll give me a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, and he'll give me, you know, the root cause or something specific to pray off, like to cancel a specific curse that is preventing that person from being healed. And so when you have that relationship with the Lord and you learn to hear his voice and you learn to work in partnership with him, that's a big key.
I love how you talk about working in partnership. You know, many people don't realize with the right partner, you can flourish. With the wrong person, you can drown. So it's a wonderful thing to hear about the right partnership. Before we wrap, I got to ask, if you had to give us your last words, what would be the words you want to share with somebody about healing?
Never give up hope. You know, there was a quote that I think it was Jennifer Evaz. She had this quote and she said, an intercessor knows that nothing is impossible in prayer. It just needs the right key, I believe is how the quote went. I actually quoted that from my second book called Weaponized Prayer. Sorry to keep plugging my books, but I use that quote in that book. And the premise of that book is that God always gives a strategy. There's always something. Like if you keep persisting, if you keep persevering, you don't give up, you keep the faith, you keep trusting God, he will eventually give you a strategy or a battle plan or something specific that you need to pray for that key to open the door and answer that prayer that you've been waiting on. So I think, you know, definitely being immersed in the word, trusting God, trusting that he is going to come through, trying to stay in peace and quiet the voice of the enemy when, you know, fear and chaos and those things start to try to come in. Just try to stay in peace and focus on the Lord and his goodness, his mercy, his grace.
I couldn't have said it any better, y'all. I mean, y'all, please go check her out. This is Dr. Melissa Ruff. Thank you so much for coming in. And thank you all for tuning in. Listen, we got a whole word today. We got miracles. We had a great testimony. We got keys to walk into this life with more faith-filled building moments that will carry us not just for us today, but for the days ahead. So y'all know how this goes. I want to thank you all for tuning in to the Patrice Brantley Show, where on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.